I wonder if some of you tried to solve the Christmas quiz that was set by GCHQ, the secretive government communications headquarters. It was an extraordinarily difficult puzzle both to understand and solve, as the 600,000 people who worked on it soon discovered. And the director of GCHQ announced that nobody had discovered the complete solution, but three people apparently came very close, and they received some rather tacky prizes as a result, and as a result of their efforts. Now, for many people, all the talk about God, the Trinity, three in one and one in three, is just as difficult as the GCHQ Christmas quiz. It seems to be an unsolvable riddle that makes little sense. And so it may help to say right at the start that God, the Trinity, three persons in one God, it's not some intellectual puzzle that we have to try and solve in order to get into heaven. Not at all, because when the Bible speaks of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's talking to us about the living God who comes to us in different ways and who wants us to receive more and more from him. Yes, there is a place for working on all the difficult and complicated questions, but the Trinity is nothing if it's not about the living God who makes himself known to us and who comes to us in different ways that can change our lives. I'm sure many of you noticed that when Bridget and I baptized Charlotte and Terrin, we baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we did this, we were following the instructions of Jesus to his disciples, who told them to baptize people with these words. And Jesus surely did this so that every person baptized might know more of the good gifts that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can give to us. There's a very famous verse in the Bible which we often use in our church services and which sums up God's best hopes for us. And it goes like this: May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Many of you know that prayer, and it's a great prayer, not only for Terrin and for Charlotte, but for all of us on this Trinity Sunday, and not only on Trinity Sunday, but on every other day of the year as well. Let's unpack this together for just a few moments and think first of all about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this word grace, it's an absolutely key Christian word. And it means undeserved love, love that is free, unmerited, and never earned. And one way to receive this love is to be continually aware how much we need it. I like a story told by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. And his story is about one occasion when he went to preach at some big church service. And at this service, he was speaking about the many ways in which we human beings are not the people that we could be. Our world is not the way that it could be. And so often we human beings get our priorities wrong and we live as if we don't need God. The Bible word for this is sin, which is something that affects every human being and more so as we grow up. And Justin Welby said in the course of his sermon that he is a sinner just like everybody else. And so, like everybody else, he needs the grace, the free, undeserved forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think the Archbishop may have been a little bit surprised when someone came up to him after the service and said, "If I'd known you were a sinner, I wouldn't have come here today to listen to you." Which is funny in one way, but sad in another way, because it's basic to the Christian message that as we grow up, all of us sin and fall short in many ways. Interesting, isn't it, that no one has to teach us how to do it, because a tendency to do wrong is inbuilt within all of us. And sometimes this can have very sad and disastrous outcomes in our lives. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God has got huge love for us, even though we don't deserve it. And when Jesus came down to earth, he came to take upon himself all our sins, all our failures, all our disobedience, all the rubbish in our lives, so that we may be forgiven by God, and not just once, but over and over and over again. And surely that is something that all of us need, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was at a Thanksgiving service a couple of weeks ago for a good friend who was a member of the golf club where I play. And during his talk, the vicar said that 5 days before he died, my friend was at a church men's meeting where he and everyone else present heard a rather disturbing question. And the question was this. It's quite a disturbing question. If you were to die tonight, and if you were to stand at the door of heaven, and God were to ask you, why should I let you in? What would you say to him? Well, I know what I'd say, that the only reason you should let me in is that you're the God of grace, the God of undeserved love, the God who freely forgives through your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's because of him and him alone that I trust you to open the door for me. That's my hope, my only hope, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on to the second part of the prayer, that God's love will be with us more and more. I realize we've already been talking about this as we've thought about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more to say, because the love of God is not only about undeserved forgiveness. It's about many other things as well. It's about the whole of our lives and every aspect of them as life goes on. And all of us know, don't we, how our lives change year by year. Our circumstances change year by year. There can be times of tremendous joy and happiness, but there can also be times of sickness and sadness and all sorts of difficulties and problems that come our way. There may be times when things seem to be fairly stable and little seems to change. But then there can be times of very rapid change, with a new job, a new home, marriage, the arrival of children, children going to school, children leaving the nest, illness, the death of a loved one, retirement, and so on. All leading up to the greatest change of our lives, which is the end of our lives here on earth. Life moves on all the time, does it not? Sometimes with a lot of time to prepare for some big development. Sometimes a big change comes with no warning at all. And in all the changing scenes of life, as the old hymn puts it, our need for God's love and more of God's love continues. In times of sickness, we need more and more of God's healing love or strength to keep going. In situations of bereavement, we need to know more of God's comforting love of hope. In situations of relationship breakdown, we surely need more of God's loving guidance and wisdom. And as we think about our need of God's love, let's remember that it frequently comes to us through other people. Perhaps we're unwell and we receive more of God's love through a really helpful visit from someone who cares. I can tell you, after my recent knee operation, I was acutely aware of receiving God's love from friends who came to visit and to pray and to care in all sorts of ways. Time and again, God's love is expressed and received in very ordinary day-to-day situations. As John was speaking to us about Christian aid. Christian aid is an expression of God's love in action. Sometimes we're on the receiving end. Sometimes we can be on the giving end as instruments of God's love to other people as we give to Christian aid. That's a way of sharing God's love with others in a practical way. And it's not only parents who are instruments of God's love towards their children, it's members of their wider families as well. And in the context of this morning's baptism service, godparents have a vital part to play in helping their children to know more and more of the love of God. Let's move on to the final part of the prayer, in which we pray that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us all. What is this fellowship? Well, in one sense, one answer is that it is us here at the Good Shepherd. That's what we're meant to be, a local fellowship of the Holy Spirit, a fellowship in which God is living in our hearts and lives by the power of his Spirit, a fellowship in which God's Spirit is inspiring us in worship, in learning, in praying, and in living for God day by day. It's a fellowship in which we are strengthened by other people and in which we strengthen others in our turn. We all know, don't we, that no local church is perfect, but I thank God for every bit of evidence that we are here at the Good Shepherd, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that he is here amongst us and leading us forward. And please God, he's going to do so more and more in the days ahead. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is a strengthening fellowship. And I know that I would not have survived as a Christian without it. And I'm always going to be grateful to so many Christians in the churches to which I've belonged for all the ways in which they've prayed for me, encouraged me, loved me, taught me, corrected me on occasions, cared for me, and so on. It was John Wesley who said that the New Testament knows nothing of solitary Christianity. Yes, if you're stranded on a desert island, you've been shipwrecked and you're on your own, then of course you've got to be a Christian on your own. But that's not so here in London. And it's in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and in many other places as well that Charlotte and Terring can grow in the knowledge and love of God and so discover more and more of all that he's got to give them in the years ahead. I must stop. But I hope I've said enough to make the point that the Trinity is not some complicated intellectual puzzle that we have to work out. What the Holy Trinity is about, God the Holy Trinity is about, is great generosity, wanting all of us to know more and more of his grace and love and fellowship. And as this happens, so we will know more and more of his good purposes for our lives and more of his countless blessings. So parents, godparents, wider families, pray this prayer. It's such a wonderful prayer to pray, not just today for these children, but every day, that they will grow in the love and the grace and the fellowship of God the Trinity. Go on praying it and keep looking for ways in which you can be part of the answer to your prayers for them. I hope we're all going to take this verse away. If you don't remember anything else I've said, remember this prayer. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's not just for children who come for baptism, not just for one Sunday of the year. It's for all the time. And so as we pray this prayer, may all of us here in church may receive more and more of all that God's got to give us in the days ahead. He is, after all, the giver of good gifts, which meet our deepest needs, both in this life and also in the world to come. Let's sing it in, if we may. The prayer at the end of the sermon is this hymn, number 702, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us.